You know what it is to be ruthless and unfriended. You know the ache of it, the pain of it. I know. It is 1,800 years that I am dead, but I know. For my name is Elisha Ben Abuya. Never forget my name. Elisha Ben Abuya. I was a traitor.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations bring you The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is Rabbi Milton Steinberg's novel, As a Driven Leaf, adapted for radio by Morton Wishengrad. Roger DeCoven is featured as Elisha Ben Abuya. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Chaplain S. Joshua Cohn. He sings a scholar's hymn, but he does not sing it for me. He sings for those who stood fast, and I did not stand fast. He sings for Akiba ben Joseph, who was a saint, and whom I betrayed, and for Ben Zoma, who was my colleague, and Meir, who was my disciple. The song's for them. Yet, did not the sages declare that it is forbidden to cast a stone against him who has fallen? Perhaps then one small note of melody is for Rabbi Elisha Ben Abuya, who once in the time of the Sanhedrin and the Roman conquest of Judea was whole of heart and untormented by doubt. How did I, who was a rabbi and one of the Sanhedrin, turn from faith to betrayal? I cannot say. But there was a time when a sickness came to Judea, and Meir, who was my disciple and dearer to me than a son, asked me to come to his house where two small children lay stricken with the plague.
Peruria, I've brought Rabbi Elisha.
A happy week to you, Meir, and to you, Rabbi Elisha.
How are the children?
The children? Better. Yes, better. Much better.
I'll go in and see them.
No, they're resting. Let them be.
You speak so strangely.
Perhaps it's because I have a question for you.
Yes, Beruria?
A man came to see me many years ago. He left two precious jewels in my safekeeping. Today, before you came, he appeared again. Two precious jewels, Mayor, and I am loath to part with them. Must I give them back to him?
They never were your property. You must give them back.
Two jewels which I kept for so long.
But they were only yours for safekeeping. Tell me.
Go and see. I have given them back.
Beruria.
Yes, Mayor. Your sons are dead. He who gave them to us asked for their return.
The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the righteous judge.
A question to you, Rabbi Elisha. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But did my babies sin? Did their father sin? Did I sin? What was our offense that God cursed us?
I don't know,
Peruria.
Then who knows? You are my husband's teacher.
It is not in our power to explain either the happiness of the wicked or the suffering of the righteous.
Is that all you can say?
If you believe in God, what more can you say?
Yes, Rabbi Elisha, forgive me. There is a passage in Job. My father read it to me. Of things too wonderful for me, things which I knew not, have I spoken. Wherefore I abhor my words and recant. Blessed be the righteous judge.
She said it, and Job said it, but I doubted. My head was filled with blasphemous thoughts. Had not the Almighty dealt deviously with them? Had he not tricked them into submissiveness? Now I was no longer wholehearted. I was torn in two. For how can the soul make a truce with mystery when the mind cries out for understanding? I wanted understanding more than faith. I wanted reason. Yet I was afraid to speak. So I placed the question deviously before Akiba ben Joseph and Simeon ben Zoma. I tricked them.
Let me understand you, Elisha. You want to prove your faith through reason, is that it?
Yes, Akiba.
How, Elisha?
I'm not sure, ben Zoma. Perhaps...
Yes?
Perhaps through Greek philosophy.
Since when do we need the word of the pagan to justify the word of God?
Well, then let me put it another way. We ought to know Greek philosophy so that we can defend ourselves against it. Will you join me in study?
Elisha, I will do anything to help you.
Thank you, Akiba. And you, ben Zoma?
You haven't told us all, have you, Elisha? But it doesn't matter. I'll join you.
I'm very grateful to you both. Now, if you'll allow me, I shall hurry to Caesarea to buy the books.
First, a toast. Elisha, I raise my glass to you, to faith, abundant and clear and strong as this wine, for us and for all Israel. May God go with you to Caesarea.
I must say, this is strange reading for a rabbi. Aristotle, Plato, ethics, metaphysics, analytics.
It will do for a beginning.
Take this. It is my gift to you. Euclid, Elements of Geometry.
You're very kind.
I wonder. Rabbi, I like you. Don't take these books.
You speak strangely for a pagan.
What do you want with them? Go back to your own people and your own tradition.
I can't.
Philosophers have never given me anything. They are liars, glib with promises. You will sow your mind with dragon's teeth.
What do you think is in my mind now?
Yes. Yes, it is plain enough. Very well, here are your books. Rabbi, I hope they don't make you sick.
The bookseller was wrong. They did not make me sick. In Euclid, I found what I wanted, a method. Here was logic in motion. I was seeking a theology, a morality, a faith confirmed by logic. But it eluded me. And while Akiba and Ben Zoma did not seek after the things I sought, nevertheless, they bent over the writings, and they were troubled and even changed. And back and forth I rode to Caesarea, searching among the books, speaking to the bookseller.
Rabbi, you're doing yourself mortal injury. Stop before it is too late.
I cannot.
I don't know what you want, Elisha, but whatever it is, the price will be too high.
Yes, the price was also high for a man named Job. He stood up and challenged the presence behind all things. Wherefore, he said, hidest thou thyself from me? Wilt thou harass a driven leaf?
May your God have pity on you, Elisha. Because that is what you are, a driven leaf. And where is it going to end?
When Where was it going to end? For me and for Akiba and for Benzoma. For I did not let them rest. Akiba was a rock and did not waver. But Benzoma was shaken. May God forgive me, but I tortured him with my doubting. He was a good man and straight in his faith. But I knew how to plant a question. I had no eyes to see what I was doing to him. And then when I was able to see, it was too late. He was missing one night. Then Akiba and Benazai found him babbling under a tree.
To the firmament is the distance of 500 years' journey. And from the topmost firmament to God's throne is an equal distance. And the upper firmament is so close to the lower that a bird flying between them would brush both with each stroke of his fluttering wings.
Listen to me, Benzoma.
No,
you
no,
must
it
listen.
Is written in scripture. Ye shaftim ba'aretz. In the land, ye shall grow old. Now, the numerical value of the phrase, ye shall grow old, is 852. But the first commonwealth before the exile lasted for only 850 years.
Benzoma,
two years
stop. Listen to me. Look at me.
Let him be. Let him alone.
Well, what does it mean? Is he ill?
God pity him. He is mad.
Elisha does not believe. Elisha denies everything. Shh. I mustn't say so. Elisha is my friend. Not to anybody. Elisha is my friend. My friend.
Why are you looking at me like that?
There is nothing to say. He was a virtuous man. He will have his reward in heaven.
And you believe that, Benazai?
Yes, Elisha. There is a righteous judge, and he will render judgment.
It is a lie.
Elisha!
What? I say it again, it is a lie. There is no reward, there is no judge, there is no judgment, because there is no God. It is the first step that is difficult. Now the step was taken. Judea was tradition, and tradition was a tended grave. I went to Antioch. I went among the Greek philosophers to study reason, to find a higher truth without mysticism, to build a system based on nature and on logic. And in Antioch, I found Pappus, who was a friend of my boyhood. Pappus, the Hellenized Jew. He smiled at me and called his barber.
Now, don't be afraid, Elisha. Quickly uncut a side lock before he protests. Ah, excellent, Cleon. Now the other one quickly before he changes his mind.
Come now, Elisha, don't look so rueful.
I thought... Well, never mind what I thought.
Cleon, his beard, go to work.
Will he cut it all?
Naturally. Then he'll shave your chin.
He's cutting more than my beard. He's cutting off the past.
Then be grateful. Cleon, when you're finished, I think we shall try a Roman haircut on our friend.
You have plans for me, I see.
Wonderful plans. There are enough philosophers here to make you intoxicated on syllogisms. You'll see. Elisha, you'll see.
How many men have studied as I studied, beginning clean, without prejudices, without preconceptions, searching for the universal truth in nature, the truth that can be proved. The days were long in passage, but in retrospect, they were like a moment. They mounted into weeks, into months, into years. Then one day, Pappus came to me with news.
Put down your books, Elisha.
What for?
The rumor is spreading that the Emperor Hadrian plans to rebuild Jerusalem as a pagan city.
How does that concern me?
If it's true, there's going to be war.
They won't rebel against Rome.
No.
Oh? They will destroy themselves and bring misery to thousands who never heard of Palestine.
You know, Elisha, I don't like the way you say they. You might use we occasionally.
Really, Pappas, you surprise me. I'm not accustomed to thinking of you as a Jewish patriot.
I grant I'm a bad Jew. But, Elisha, at least I know I'm not a Roman. Which side are you on?
My work is more important to me than anything else.
Which side, Elisha? Palestine or the Roman Empire?
You insist on an answer?
I do.
Very well. My answer is that I hope I may never be compelled to choose.
Elisha, a time always comes when a man has to take a stand.
The war came, and incredibly, the ragged battalions of Judea beat back the legions of Imperial Rome. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. In the fourth year of the war, the Romans burst into Jerusalem. Then a courier delivered a summons for me and for Pappas.
You are Elisha, formerly of Migdal in Palestine?
I am.
And your name is Pappas?
It is.
You're ordered to travel with all possible speed to the city of Jerusalem.
Whose orders?
Marcus Tinius Rufus.
Suppose
Governor of Judea.
Yes, but suppose we refuse to undertake the trip.
Prison.
Oh, I see.
The highway to Palestine goes south, not east. I merely suggest the information.
It's rather considerate of you.
It's the only road on which you will not be arrested.
Pappas, what do they want?
Roman generals rarely take me into their confidence. It's an order, and it will have to be obeyed.
Exactly. You're allowed 7 days to make the journey. I recommend that you take no longer. Tinius Rufus is an impatient man.
Welcome to Jerusalem, pilgrims. I will come to the point. This province has rebelled 3 times in less than 70 years. I am instructed to adopt such policies as will make another insurrection impossible. You know these people. Now advise us. How shall we cut out the root of the trouble?
Tereus Rufus, the logical way would be to cut out the root of their bitterness. Let them rebuild their temple. One hill means nothing to the Roman Empire.
Elisha, I ask you not to treat me as a child. We are not interested in throwing away our victory.
You are asking us to assist you against our own people.
Your loyalties are your own affair.
Your Excellency.
What is it, Polyander? I left orders I was not to be interrupted.
You are wanted at once, Excellency. Our scouts have located the last rebel detachment.
All right, all right, all right. These men are under arrest. Hold them here for me.
Elisha, have you made up your mind?
I'm going to obey Tinius Rufus.
In God's name, you can't mean that.
I have no alternative.
It's your own flesh and blood he wants you to betray. Are you afraid to die?
In a sense, yes. No, not for the pain. I'm of little consequence, but I have to finish what I started. My work will be significant to all men. I'm near the truth I've searched for.
Haven't you heard of the simple loyalty of a human being to his own kind?
These irrational feelings collide with reason. My life is dedicated to reason.
No, Elisha. You have only convinced yourself of the wisdom of treason.
Bring them in, Polyander. That one first. Pappas, you know what we want. Your answer.
The answer is no.
Arrest him for treason. You, Elisha?
I agree. But on one condition.
We are not bargaining with you.
Ah, but you are.
Very well. State your condition.
Pappas must be set free.
Cheap enough. He doesn't mean anything to us. Release him, Polyander. You'll stay here, Elisha. You'll stay here and teach us how to suffocate the Jews. Won't you, Rabbi?
He was thorough and unpitying. He stood over me and probed for the vital organs of Israel. And I betrayed Israel. The Sabbath was forbidden, the rite of circumcision prescribed, the Sanhedrin dispersed, the sages seized and held for execution, the academies closed, the ordination of rabbis prohibited. Shouldn't I have told him? I was Elisha ben Abuya. I worshipped reason, and sentiment was irrational. Oh, yes, about one thing I was irrational. They brought Meir's name to me on a list. I remembered Meir and Beruria, his wife. I failed to identify him, and Meir was spared. But what did it matter? Akiba was murdered. And I, Elisha, the rational man, was released to pursue truth. How many bitter, sterile years did I pursue truth? Yes, I pursued truth. And on a road in Palestine, I found Rabbi Meir.
Is it? Merciful God. How you've changed.
Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir now, isn't it?
Yes, Master.
You call me that after everything?
Forgive me, Master. Oh, Elisha. Did you have to serve them so completely?
I don't understand that myself now. It is hard to be hated as I'm hated.
I don't hate you.
It isn't the clenched fist, Meir. It's the averted face. It isn't the flung stone, but the sudden silence, the windows shuttered, the dreadful emptiness of those whom I have wronged.
Rabbi Elisha, did you find what you went to seek?
I found vanity and a striving after wind.
No more than that? No more than that, Master, for all the struggle and the sacrifice?
No more than that. I sought to find truth among the pagans, but what are the achievements of their scholars when they despise justice and mercy?
Sit here and rest, Master.
No, let me speak. Meir, it was my great error, this reverence for the intellect. It led me to condone the sins of Rome. It induced me to dismiss as blind emotion the impulses of loyalty and love for my people. Now I know, Meir. The processes of life overflow the vessels of reason.
But the method of Euclid, Master. The method you put so much confidence in.
You remember the epigram of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
Yes. There is no truth unless there be a faith on which it may rest.
That's the answer to Euclid. And I knew it all the time.
I don't understand.
You must understand. All truth rests ultimately on some act of faith. Science on its faith in the world of nature. Geometry on axioms. Everything begins with faith. I have made a journey in a circle, Meir.
Goodbye, Elisha.
The God of our fathers remain with you, my son.
May he forgive you, Elisha ben Abuya.
It is 1800 years, and I am dead. But I remember, and I remember Meir standing over my grave. For from the cemetery down the hill, from the grave at his feet, from dead yesterdays, ghosts came stealing. And he wept not alone for me, but for himself as well. For a woman who rarely smiled, for sweet children who slept nearby, for a people crushed and persecuted. For all the sons of men, their aches of the body and soul. and their dreams that die. The script you have just heard was adapted for radio from Rabbi Milton Steinberg's novel, As a Driven Leaf, published by Bob's Merrill Company. Copies of the script may be obtained without cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, in honor of National Maritime Day to be celebrated next Tuesday, we present a brief talk by Chaplain S. Joshua Cohn of the U.S. Maritime Service Training Station at Sheepshead Bay, New York. Chaplain Cohn.
On Tuesday, May 22nd, our country will observe National Maritime Day and pay tribute to the gallant merchant seamen who have played and still do so glorious a part in winning the war. Our merchant sailors have borne the brunt of the first attacks of the enemy. They kept the lifelines open in the darkest days of the war. The tremendous number of sinkings by the German and Japanese submarines did not deter the merchant seamen from sailing on and on. Let us hail these unsung heroes, whose sagas will be told with reverent awe in days to come. They had a job to do, a very dangerous job. They did it and paid the price for our precious liberty. They sailed to the frozen waters of the north. They brought the ships with their cargoes to the fever-ridden tropics. They sailed to Murmansk, to Archangel, to the Aleutians, to India, to the South Pacific, to all ports and all beaches. Their ships were blasted by torpedoes, demolished by aerial bombs. They boarded others. They drifted in lifeboats or rafts. They hungered and were parched with thirst. Still they carried on. They froze and they were burnt. Still they made port. They fought a global war on all the seas. They brought the millions of men and millions of tons of cargo to the beaches and the ports. Let us salute the brave seamen who still carry on, and let us offer a prayer in memory of the thousands who gave their all and found a permanent abode beneath the waves of the sea. O Lord God, Thou who rulest over calm waters and tempestuous seas, protect the men of the merchant marine who sail the charted waters. Thou who watchest over all men, guide those who go down to the sea in ships and bring them back again safely into snug harbors. Thou who sustainest mankind, grant strength and fair weather to the men who carry precious cargoes of food and clothing in the holds of ships. Thou who dispensest justice and dealest kindly, grant courage to the men of the merchant marine to sail the seven seas with all the materiel for fighting men until victory is won and a durable and triumphant peace established. We pray unto thee, O God, for the souls of all those brave merchant mariners who have sanctified the cause of liberty and freedom with their lives and who now sleep peacefully beneath the waves. May their souls be bound up in the bond of everlasting life. May their heroic sacrifice, together with those of all our brave soldiers and sailors, be an everlasting memorial to a better world of human brotherhood. Amen.
The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Katims. The soloist was cantor David Putterman of the Park Avenue Synagogue, New York. Elisha Benabuya was played by Roger DeCoven. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This program is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.